Ja.
To the worship service of St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church on this beautiful Sunday, July 23rd, 2023. Welcome to any guests with us this morning. Note the reading at the top of our bulletin. I always like to read that part. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. Nahum 1:7a. Please note the announcements in the bulletin, including the seniors' fellowship on Wednesday. Also the need for food donations for community care, and the success of our vacation Bible camp. Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3 and 23 to 31. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. those he gathered from east and west, from north and south. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants in the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down into the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. So far, the reading of God's word. Let's please sing together, "You Are My All in All." Bow in prayer. Lord God, amazing Father, you've brought us together on your day to celebrate you with praise and worship. Thank you for the joy and responsibility of sharing your light with children during BBC. Please be with those children as they continue to share your light. Thank you for the challenges and storms in our lives, giving us the opportunity to grow stronger in faith and to lean on you more. Be with us this morning, Father, as we hear your words and learn more of your love and wisdom for our lives. Amen. And next, we'll sing "As the Deer and the River."
Well, good morning, friends. It's a couple of notes before we have our time of pastoral prayer. We've heard that Bill Secord has been admitted to hospice, so please continue to keep him, his wife Ingrid, and his mother-in-law Hertha in your prayers. And please continue to keep Helga and Hans Runge, which I know I'm not saying in the German way, but I'm not going to try. Please keep the Runges in your prayers as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you know our needs, our cares, even before we ask for anything. Lord, we think of all of the whispers of our hearts this morning, the whispers of the hearts of our neighbors who don't have anyone to share their needs with, who don't have anyone to share their prayer requests with. Lord, have mercy. We pray that you would meet us. We pray, Lord, that you would meet our needs and that you'd open our eyes so that we can see the needs of our neighbors and help them as well. May we be your hands and your feet. In particular, Lord, we pray that you'd be with the Secord family. Be a good shepherd to them in this time. Spirit, grieve alongside them, celebrate alongside them, and help us to be a community alongside them in this difficult moment. Lord, we pray that you continue to be with Helga and Hans, and Lord, have mercy there. We pray for your hope, your healing, your presence. Lord, as we look through the world, we see that there is much trouble. And yet we trust and know that you are the one in control. Continue to open our eyes and our hearts to how your kingdom is sprouting up all around us. Jesus, show us how you are at work in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our world, and how we can participate alongside you so that we may see your kingdom come and your will be done through our lives and by our prayers. In all things, Lord, guide us in your peace, in your hope, and in your love. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. An awesome morning, an awesome day the Lord has given us. Okay, let me see if I can organize myself. I thought I had my marker here. Our scripture reading today is going to be taken from Mark 4, verses 35, from 35 to 41. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have any faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Thus far the reading of the word.
Do we have any kids here today? especially those who went to VBS, I have some questions. If you'd like to come forward, you can. If you don't want to come forward, that's also okay. Well, hello. Were all of you at VBS this week?
Yeah.
Oh, VBC! I gotta say it right. The adjustment. Yes. I want you to think, what was one thing that you really liked about VBC?
Having snack.
Oh, the snack time. That was good. Do you know, I actually participated and went to VBS, and when Gus didn't finish his juice box, it always made its way to the garbage empty, magically.
Games.
Oh, you like? Did you have a favorite game that you played? Oh, with the water balloon one. I was mysteriously far in the distance when Gus started throwing those, yes. What about, do you have a favorite you want to share? No favorite. It's hard to pick one.
Imagination Station.
The Imagination Station. Can you tell us who weren't there? What is the Imagination Station?
It's like when my aunt Ziggy says we're traveling back in time.
Oh, yeah, with all of the back in time stuff. Well, that was a lot of fun. Do you guys have anything you liked? Oscar, you were there a little bit. What do you think? No? Gus, did you want to say anything? Oh, Oscar really liked the rocket that came home with his brother. And Gus liked it too, yeah. Well, thank you. Well, we had such a fun week. It is such a fantastic program that we put on for the community. And I look forward to continuing to invest in that in the future. But I also have one more question for you. I want you to think, what is something that makes you afraid? What's something that makes you scared?
Spiders.
Spiders! Yeah, I'm looking around. Hopefully none are dropping on my head now.
Monsters.
Monsters. Those could be scary too. Slugs! If you'd like to see a very large slug that we found on the wall of our house inside, I can show you a picture later.
heights.
You don't like heights?
Nothing.
Nothing scares you. Oh, he kills the spiders for you. He's a bit of a hero. Sometimes the dark, things people are afraid of. Well, we're going to talk about things that we're afraid of a little bit today. So thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. You guys can go back. It was a dark and stormy night, which is obviously cheating because the passage doesn't say it was nighttime, but I just couldn't resist. Today we're talking about this gigantic storm that comes and startles and scares the disciples, these fishermen who are used to being out on the water. Now, how many of you, we've all been on a plane before or a boat. That's probably the closest thing we can get to traveling across the water like they did. It was something not everyone wanted to do or got to do. I have some friends who are very afraid of flying, and it is very enjoyable to fly with them because you'd be like, oh, did you feel that? What was that sound? Because I'm a very kind and generous person. I help them grow out of their fear. But I used to work in Western Canada in the summer times, and I have a sister who is in Edmonton. So what that means is I would be way, way across over the mountains, and then I thought to myself, on my way home, I should visit my sister and her family. And that means a short flight from kind of the middle of British Columbia over the mountains into Edmonton. And when I went and did this, now I am not an experienced flyer by any means, and especially not at this point. But, you know, you go to the airport, you put your things in, you walk out, and the first thing I notice is that they don't have us walk through a tunnel, they have us walk out on the ground. Huh. It's a bit different. And then I see the airplane. The airplane had propellers. And I didn't know that those still existed. So we get on the airplane, there's only one row of people. Huh, a little bit different, but that means, you know, I don't have anyone right beside me. And we get off into our flight. And as we're going along, when you're flying a short distance, you don't get high enough up to get out of all of the turbulence and the storms. So those of you who flew way back when might remember how flying used to be very shaky. But as we were going up, suddenly you could see and you could feel that there was a storm. And the pilot comes over to, well, everyone, you know, stay in your seat. Like we're getting up in this small plane. Keep your seatbelts on. And it's kind of starting to shake a little bit. And you get some of those roller coaster moments where suddenly it's dropping and shaking. And so I start to feel like, well, this is scary. On my list of things never to do in life is get in a small plane. This isn't quite small, but it's small enough. And so I do what the logical thing is. Okay, people fly all the time. Everyone's fine. And so I look over at the staff, at the stewards, or the people who would serve you food and drinks. You know, they're normally serving drinks and other stuff in the middle of everything being stormy. And I look over at them, and they're buckling in and holding hands. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but when the people who fly all the time look afraid, suddenly it's like, oh. And then we started having the moments where it's shaking around, and all of us in the plane, you can kind of see ahead, we're gripping the sides of our seats as if by our collective will we're going to keep the plane up in the air. And it shakes to the point where we're in a small plane, you can feel everything to the depths of your soul. And we even have these moments where we suddenly drop down and, you know, people start making noises, as one does. And I always thought that I'd be calm in a situation like that, or we have these imaginary situations, like a plane's going down, someone stands up and prays, but it was enough that our breath was taken away. Obviously, we made it, because I'm here, but as we get to the end and things kind of settle down a little bit, and the pilot says, oh, we made it through the storm, and we land. When we land, everybody cheers. Everyone's so happy. None of us actually kiss the ground, but you can see us all doing it in our minds and in our hearts. We're just glad to be alive. Sometimes you go on a flight just to get to a new place, but we had that new joie de vivre again, that joy of living. Oh man, we just barely dodged something there. And that's kind of what's going on in the story today. There's this moment where the storm gets so bad that these incredibly experienced fishermen, people who are experienced being out on the water, start to have a moment of panic. So as much as we can with each of these stories, and this is a great way to approach the Bible, let's try to hear it with fresh ears, see it with fresh eyes, because some of these stories are very familiar. But for the first people, there'll be some really interesting things going on. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of smart person Easter eggs. That means I'm not going to go too deep into them, but there's some interesting things going on in this passage. The first of them is that because this is written in Greek, we would miss that if you were a Greek reader or a Greek listener, what you are given to start out reading with is not the Iliad, that's Homer's Iliad, it's actually the Odyssey. And one of the stories in the Odyssey has this person, Odysseus, falling asleep in a boat, and a storm, these winds come out. And this passage is copying that language. It's exactly mimicking it. So people would know that there's something going on. There's something beyond just a storm, almost something supernatural, godlike happening. And there's also some little hints here of Job in some way too, but different maybe than we expect. So I'm not going to delve into that, but you can kind of think of that on your own. What are these interesting things that are going on? So Jesus has been teaching for a time. He's been going around, and now he's out on a boat, as one does, because your voice projects. They didn't quite have the same projection units or accordions to blare music. So they're out on the water. There's some other boats. And Jesus, after teaching for a while, says, let's go to the other side. Now, we live on Lake Ontario, which is very big. I put my feet in Lake Ontario yesterday. It was terrible. It's so cold. Oh, my goodness. But here, we're talking maybe 13 miles across. It's like 13 by 8 miles. Sorry, I haven't entirely switched over to our Canadian metric measurements yet. I'll do that. Someone can do the math for me. 20 kilometers. Sure. So they're going across this area. Now, if you've ever visited that region, this kind of takes place in a valley. That's where the sea sits. It's really a big lake. And storms come up there very quickly, even today. Very, very quickly it goes from everything's okay to everything's not okay. And remember, the disciples are used to this. This is their home turf. So they're going out on the water. There's these other boats with them. And Jesus, well, you know that famous shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Well, what we're really missing is that there should have been a verse here that says, Jesus napped. So if you go home after church today and you take a nap, you can say, well, I'm just following Jesus' example. And if you really want to do it, someone can take you out on the water and you can fall asleep in a boat. So Jesus is napping. And they're crossing over from the region where they're used to being to a place called the region of the Gerasenes. This is part of 10 cities called the Decapolis. And what's a bit interesting in the area they're going is it's no longer just Jewish people. There's going to be what will be called Gentiles, or people who wouldn't be following the God of the Jews. And there's also going to be some Jewish people there who would be called Hellenized. That means that they've essentially become just like the other Greek people there. They're Jewish in background only. And in this place where they're going, there's a temple to the god Zeus. Zeus, who you may remember holding a lightning bolt, or the storm god. And even there's some history there that suggests that Zeus has actually replaced an older storm god that we'll be familiar with from the Bible named Baal. So as this storm comes, as they're coming across the water, the first listeners hearing this story again would very much recognize that there's a bit of a battle of the gods going on. Zeus, or Baal, is not happy that Jesus is crossing over to them. And so the disciples are doing their best in the storm. Things get very bad very quickly, and you can imagine them bailing out the water. And they kind of get frustrated with Jesus. And what's it they say? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Now, we know what Jesus is capable of doing. They did not. What they're really saying is, can you help us bail out the water? We're doing our best to keep out here. You're just sleeping. Let's bail out the water together. And then we have Jesus at perhaps his most human moment, waking up from this nap. And I imagine, we don't know all of the strength and the power. Sometimes we imagine him getting up and saying things big, but I kind of imagine what it's like for us when we wake up. Jesus aroused from his sleep. Oh, ugh. Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning? He's like, ah. Quiet. Shh. And then everything calms down. And I kind of imagine him sleepily going back onto the pillow. Do you guys still not have faith? See, the faith aspect there, he's not saying to the disciples, you guys still don't believe what I'm capable of, or you're having a lack of faith. What he's saying is that you thought I'd let you drown. You thought that I'd say we're going from one side to the other. You thought that there are these other storm gods that could stop us. I'm with you. We'll be okay. And goes back to sleep. And there's this rhythm that goes in the story that starts with, there was a great storm. And then after Jesus kind of shushes everything, it says there was a great calm. It's not like a storm that slowly subsides. It's a storm that just suddenly stops. And then it says there was a great fear. And it's interesting because I'd have thought that the great fear would come with the great storm. But the fear comes from the disciples realizing that there's someone in the boat with them that they're following, that they thought might be the Messiah, who has just calmed the storm and done something only the gods can do, only Yahweh can do. Because in the history of the Bible, we see whenever there's a storm, whenever there's this chaotic water, there's a need for recreation. In fact, whenever there's monsters, as some people talked about being afraid of, when monsters come out of things in the Bible, they come out of the sea, as they should. And even right at the beginning, there's this chaotic emptiness, this chaotic waters that the Spirit of God hovers over and breathes into new creation, new things. So we see the creation power of Jesus packed, or the creation power of God packed into this man, Jesus, who is asleep at the back of the boat again. And the thing with this passage that gets us, I think, is that we know what it's like when storms hit. maybe less so storms hitting us on the water, but we know what it's like when things go poorly. Where someone is sick, where someone is dying, where someone has died, where all of the things in life are working against us, where we've lost jobs, we've lost hope. And it's in those very moments that we start to wonder, just like the disciples did. There's this thing, this big thing that is out of our control. No matter how hard we hold on to the seats of the plane, we're not going to keep it in the air. God, where are you? Don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown? And the temptation is to meet this kind of despair and difficulty with platitudes. Let go and let God. Sure, but I still have to do something about my dying family member. I can't just let go. Sure, I still have to go and do all of those things and pay all of those bills and work my way through this and be with my family in the midst of this pain. I'd love to let go and let God, but the water's getting deeper and I have to start bailing. And it sure would be nice if God was bailing with me. But our hope remains in the one who is in the boat. That Jesus shows us what God is like. Not just that God is powerful, that God is in control of all things, but that God is the God who is right there alongside us in the boat, even when it's hard for us to notice sometimes. That Jesus is the type of person, the type of God who cares. Don't you care that we're drowning? Of course I do. I'm right here with you. That Jesus is the one who is in control, even in the mystery of moments where it feels like that control, you know, we'd like it to turn a little bit of a different direction. We don't know why God allows the things God allows, but we continue to trust and look around to believe that God is recreating and bringing about good all around us, even if that means that there will be pain and difficulty for those of us experiencing the brokenness of our world. And when we look to Jesus, we see that Jesus isn't just the one who is in the boat with us. Jesus is the one who stays in the boat with us. That Jesus doesn't tell the disciples, don't you have any faith? Well, I'm gone. Okay, go do your own thing. That Jesus says, no, don't you have faith? We're okay, and I'll go back to sleep in the boat here alongside. So our hope that we have, what we can do with this passage is a reminder that there will be storms. There are people who will promise you that if you give the right amount to the right TV ministry, or if you pray the right prayers, or you believe enough, that nothing bad will happen to you. Only good things. And they are selling you something that is not of the Holy Spirit. And they probably have a pretty nice house and jet because of it. That's not what Jesus didn't have a jet, he had a boat. And it wasn't even his boat. Bad things will happen. Difficult things will happen. But Jesus remains in that boat with us. Jesus will be with us in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our pain, that Jesus is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who grieves alongside us. Working to a place where there will be no tears while recognizing that this is a time still of difficulty and tears. And I think we are encouraged too in this passage that we're called to follow Jesus. So what does Jesus do? He stays in the boat with those who are struggling. We are not called to be a people of platitudes. We're not called to be a people say, well, you know what? Just take a nap for a while like Jesus did. Let God take control for a while. And that can be true. You can take naps, and it's good to recognize that God is in control, but that does not help us in the midst of our pain. We are invited to get in the boats with other people. We are invited to get into the stormy weather with other people, and when they're crying out, God, don't you care, we can be there with them, helping to bail out the water, trusting that Jesus is in that boat. trusting that we get to be the hands and feet and the love, sometimes the hugs, sometimes the shoulder to cry on, of Jesus as the community that follows him. See, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus is preaching all through Mark. What that means is that it is already here in some ways, but it is not fully here yet. And in this passage, Jesus shows us what that kingdom of God means. It means that the king is with us. It means that the king is with us, recreating and redeeming all of creation, even bringing peace to the great storms. That the king is with us, inviting us to bring that peace into the storms of our loved ones, our neighbors, and those who feel far away to Jesus. So friends, may you recognize that Jesus is in that boat with you, even in the difficulty of the storm. May you find friends who are in storms and get into that boat with them. And may you experience the peace that comes only through Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. And Jesus, we thank you that you continue to bring your presence to us. Help us, help each person here to be even more aware of your love, that you love them dearly, that you are right alongside them, that wherever we go, there you are. And may we be people who bring your peace alongside us into the storms of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Guess we've all been on some of those flights. We're going to close this morning with singing This Is My Father's World, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll have the benediction, and then we'll sing verse 3.
And stand as you're able and receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bring peace to the midst of whatever storm you head out to. May your feet be guided in his way of life. Go in God's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.